Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Aleph, 21. This Perek discusses a drought, a famine that occurred during David's reign. There is a difference of opinion as to when this occurred. Most do agree that it occurred before the rebellion of Avshalom. Some say that it occurred early on in his reign, and some say it happened about 30 years into his reign. Pasuk Aleph 1, Vayihi Ra'av Bimei David, Shalosha Nim Shana Acharei Shana. There was a famine in the time of David, 3 years, one after the other. Vayivakesh David es Pnei Hashem, and David asked Hashem. Meaning, the reaction to a Ra'av or any other natural disaster is to do deep introspection and to figure out, both on an individual level as well as on a national level, what did we do wrong? Therefore, the Pasuk says, Hashem, David asked Hashem. The Pasuk specifies Shana Acharei Shana, meaning that initially they thought it was just a bad year, that it just didn't have rain, but then when the drought continued, David realized that something else was going on. Therefore, according to the Gemara, he first thought it was due to Avodah Zarah, and therefore he investigated to see if there was Avodah Zarah that was going on in his kingdom, but he saw that there was not. In the second year, he thought that perhaps there was immorality going on, but he found out that there was indeed not. In the third year, he thought perhaps people were not fulfilling their charity obligations, and he found that too, they were not lax in. So then David realized, he said, Ein hadavar taloi elabi. He realized that he needed to ask Hashem, meaning he asked Hashem through the Urim B'Tumim, which is why the Pasuk says, Vayivakesh David es Pnei Hashem. So David got his answer. The second part of the pasuk tells us, "Vayomer Hashem el Shaul the el Beis Hadamim al Asher Hemis es Hagivonim." And the way this is most explained is that Hashem said it's because of Shaul, and what they explain is that Bnei Israel did not properly eulogize Shaul, and also the el Beis Hadamim on the house of blood that Shaul killed the Givonim. So there are two answers going on here. The first reason is because Shaul died on Har Hel Gilboa after the war with the Plishtim. His body was dragged around and taken to Beit Shan. And then the people of Yavesh Gilad risked their lives heroically to get the remains of David and his sons back, and they buried them in Yavesh Gilad. However, Rashi, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, tells us that the Bnei Yisrael as a whole did not properly eulogize Shaul, and therefore Bnei Yisrael were punished with a famine. It is true that David said Akina over Shaul and Yehonasan, but the indictment is that the pain and the eulogies were not expressed by all of Israel in a sufficient manner for the first king of Israel. The second reason that Rashi gives, he actually gives three reasons. Most Mefarshim only focus on two, is that El Beis Hadamim Shaharag Nov Ir HaKohanim, because of his part in Nov Ir HaKohanim. We can understand this by saying that all of Bnei Yisrael were punished because of this, because perhaps they did not protest this killing. And then Rashi continues, Asher Himis Es HaGivonim, that they killed the Givonim. We actually do not see anywhere in the text that Shaul killed the Givonim. So these Givonim were people who lived in Canaan during the time of Yehoshua. This is this account is told in Yehoshua Perek Tes, Perek 9, when Bnei Israel entered the land. In order to avoid being wiped out by the Jews entering the land, these Givonim hid their identity as Canaan and impersonated a people from a faraway land. If you recall from Sefer Yehoshua, they wore old clothing, they brought old food, and pretending that they had been traveling a very long way. And Yehoshua made a pact with them that they would be spared because they're not in the indigenous to the land of Canaan. But they were found out, Bnei Yisrael found out who they really were. But instead of reneging on this treaty and cause a chil Hashem, Yehoshua spared them because of the power of an oath. But they were relegated to woodcutters and water carriers, and they served in the city of Nov Ir HaKohanim. Now that Nov was killed out, the Givonim had no more source of income. So says Rashi, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, because Shaul took away their livelihood by killing out Nov and by extension taking out the livelihood of the Givonim, it was considered as if he killed them. A very sobering thought indeed about how careful one must be about, God forbid, not impinging on somebody's livelihood. According to other opinions, the Givonim were actually killed as collateral damage when Nov was attacked. So we have two reasons, or according to Rashi, three reasons. One that is highlighting Shaul's lack of honor bestowed upon him, and the other, the terrible infraction that Shaul did, for which the people 30 years later are being punished. So it really does seem like a contradiction. On the one hand, it's we didn't give enough honor to Shaul, and on the other hand, we're talking about what a disgraceful act that Shaul did. But for Hashem, it is not a contradiction, because it is not a contradiction because Hashem's judgment is all-encompassing. Shaul, on the one hand, was held accountable for this terrible massacre, and it does not negate the fact that there needs to be a proper eulogy for Shaul, who was the first king of Israel. And Shaul was a great person. There he certainly had some flaws, which unfortunately brought his downfall. But overall, Shaul was a tremendous tzaddik. So Rashi, quoting from the Gemara, tells us, he quotes the pasuk in Sefanya, Asher mishpato pa'alo, that Hashem is the one who fulfills his judgment, meaning that he exacts punishment for infractions, and at the same time, he rewards those for their good deeds. It's not a contradiction to God. And to the question of why the people of David's time were punished for the infraction of Shaul so many years later, there are many approaches, and we have time for only one approach, and that is according to the Malbim. And he contends that after Nov was killed, and the Givonim had no Parnassa as a result, no one came to their aid. As it is, the Givonim were on the lowest societal strata in the land because of their own doing. But now they became even more despised, and they were outcasts. Says the Malbim, V'gam eis shemalach David lo samu alibam litakein ha'ivus hazeh. When David became king, he did not try to repair this injustice or this disgrace that was given to them, because they were really very low in their eyes. Perhaps what the Malbim is saying is that basically there was a systemic issue of apathy and a direct mistreatment of the Givonim. Now, it is really an unbelievable testament to how exacting God is to us if we mistreat anybody, even ones that have misled us. So much so that the Jewish people suffered a famine. So David asked the Givonim, he says, what could I do to make this right? Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Vayomer David el ha-givonim, ma'aseh lachem. He said, what can I do for you? Uv'ma'acha per, ubarchu es nachalas Hashem. What can I do to atone for this so that the nachalas, so that the portion of Hashem could be blessed? How could I make, can I right this wrong? David HaMelech does not have the upper hand here. He is totally at the mercy of the Givonim. They hold the Jewish people's fate in their hands. Now, an irony is expressed here by Rav Chaim Dov Rabinovich in his Sefer Das Sofrim. And he says, recall that when David was a young and unversed in warfare, he stood up fearlessly to the Plishti giant Goliath. He was able to do that because, and he was successful because Hashem's Shefa was on him. Hashem's Hashgacha was on him. Now, David, the great king and the experienced warrior, is pleading with a bunch of unsophisticated and downtrodden clan of people because Hashem's providence was removed from him. The Givonim answer, they said, we don't want any money from you. We don't want anything. And the Radak brings the Medrash that David actually offered to pay them reparations, which they refused. And their counter offer was something quite heinous. They wanted 7 people from Shaul's family, descendants of Shaul, to be hanged in Givat Shaul, Shaul's hometown, in exchange for Shaul's mistreatment of the Givonim. That, they said, will be mechaper, that will atone for the wrong that was done to them. David, seeing that he has no choice, after all, the famine was sent because of the mistreatment of the Givonim, as per the Urim Batumim, he agreed to this cruel request of the Givonim, which is why the Navi interjects and emphasizes back in Pasuk Beis, Lo mi v'ha-givonim, lo mi b'nei Yisrael, hema. They were not from the Jewish people. It's giving us a background as to who they were, but, says Rashi, it's telling us their cruel actions demonstrated that they are certainly not from the seed of Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu, as the Gemara, the seed of Avraham Avinu, as the Gemara Nivomus tells us, have these three characteristic, Shlosha Simanim Yesh Be'umazu, Rachmanim Baishanim Ve'gomlei Chasadim, mercy, humility, or not being brazen, and kindness. And clearly, the Givonim, the way they wanted to exact punishment, they could not forgive, they wouldn't even take any monetary reparations. Clearly, they are not from the Jewish people. So David took 8 descendants in all, actually, and Rashi explains that he took them before the Aron, and the Aron was kolate. It means that the Aron drew them inward, meaning that somehow 7 out of 8 of these people were chosen to be the victims. Pasuk Zion 7 tells us, Vayachmol ha-melech al-Mephibosheth ben Yehonasan ben Shaul. The king had mercy on Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonasan, the son of Shaul. Al Shavuas Hashem Asher Beinosam Bein David Ubein Yehonasan Ben Shaul. There was a pact. David promised to safeguard his children. What does it mean that he had pity on them? And Rashi explains that he was mispalel. He prayed that Mephibosheth would not be one of those people that was chosen when they passed through the Aram. The Navi goes on to tell us that 2 sons of Rizpah Bas Aya, one of Shaul's concubines, were killed. The names are Armoni and Mephibosheth, another Mephibosheth. This is not the same Mephibosheth. Clearly, this was a family name. And the Vaschamesha says in Pasuk Ches, Ve'eschamesha b'nei Michal Bashol asher yodol Adriel ben Barzilai ha-Macholasi, and 5 children of Michal, the daughter of Shaul, who these children were born to Adriel ben Barzilai. Now we know that Michal was not the wife of Adriel because she was actually David's wife, but these 5 children are her sister Merav's children. She had 5 children and were cared for by Michal. We're not sure why. Somehow she was not able to raise them. But from here, the Gemara says, Kol hamagadel yason betoch beiso ki'ilu yoldo. Anybody who raises an orphan in their house, it's as if they gave birth to them. So this very tragic ending to the 7 descendants of Shaul. And if it's not bad enough, it gets worse. Pasuk Tes 9 tells us, Vayitneim biyad ha-givonim, vayokium bahar lifnei Hashem, vayiplu shev'atayim yachad. He delivered them to the hands of the Givonim, and they hanged them on the mountain before Hashem. All 7 fell together. Vehem hum su bimei katsir barishonim techilas katsir seorim. And they were put to death during the first days of the harvest, at the beginning of the barley harvest. Mefarshim say that they were killed on the 16th day of Nisan, which was the 2nd day of Pesach. Then in Pasuk Yud, a tragic sight. Vatikach Rizpah bas Aya es hasak vatatehu la el hatzur mitchilas katzir ad nitach mayim alehem min hashamayim. Rizpah bas Aya took some sort of cloth and made some sort of shelter on a rock at the beginning of the barley harvest, and she waited until the rain came from heavens, meaning the rain stopped, the drought stopped, or was beginning to abate. V'lo nasna of hashamayim lanuach aleihem yomam ve'eschayas hasadeh laila. She did not allow the birds of prey to ruin their bodies during the day and the animals of the field at night. And what this is telling us is that the Givonim did not allow them to bury their dead. These 7 individuals were hung for 6 months out in the field, from the 16th of Nisan through Tishrei, for 6 months. And we learn of the incredible greatness of Rizpah bas Aya. Remember, we saw her at the beginning of our Sefer when Ishbosheth accused Avner of taking her. But we see this unbelievable dedication, this superhuman strength, as she sat by these bodies and guarded them from being further debased. She sat and she set up shelter on a rock and guarded those bodies steadfastly for 6 months. Not only that, when the Pasuk tells us, Vatateu la el hatsor, she set up a tenta, some sort of protective structure on the rock. Rashi, quoting the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, says that Rizpah said, what does it mean? Tsur, she'amra hatsur tamim pa'alo. The rock, meaning God, is pure in his deeds, meaning that she was matzdika es hadin. She did not complain. She did not question the loss of her sons, the degradation of these bodies. And she sets up camp and sits there day in and day out for 6 months guarding the bodies with the superhuman strength. But not only that, but Ritzpah Bas Aya also created a Kiddush Hashem because people passed by. They realized that these people were being punished because the Jewish justice system does not allow us to take advantage of the weak. And as a result, the Gemara tells us that 150,000 people converted. Only a few psukim devoted to this woman, but that should not take away from the greatness of Ritzpah Bas Aya. David was so moved by Ritzpah's behavior that he was moved to exhume the bodies of Shaul and Yehonasan, which had been in Yavesh Gilad. Pasuk Yud Gimel 13, Vayal Misham es Atzmos Shaul ves Atzmos Yehonasan Bano ve'yesfu es Atzmos Hamukaim. He took from Yavesh Gilad the bones of the remains of Shaul and Yehonasan, his son, and he gathered together the remains of those seven bodies. Beikberuas atzmo Shaul v'Yehonasan b'no be'eretz Binyamin b'tzela b'kever kish aviv, and they were all buried in near the burial place of Kish, Shaul's father. Vayasu kol asher tziva hamelech, and they did everything the king had said, which means, according to Mefarshim, that now they properly eulogized Shaul. Vayater Elokim la'aretz acharei kein, and Hashem was responsive to their tefilos after this. The famine stopped. A famine and a drought represents a lack of sustenance from Hashem, a lack of chesed. We say in benching, Hazan es ha'olam b'kulo b'tavo b'chein b'chesed uv'rachamim. Hashem is the one who sustains with his rachamim. Perhaps we can say mida k'negen mida for the lack of chesed paid to Shaul, the chesed shel emes, and for Shaul's cruelty to the Givonim, a lack of chesed. In turn, the Jews' indifference to the plight of the Givonim, B'nai Yisrael suffered a famine, a lack of sustenance, a lack of chesed from Hashem. Now Ritzpah shows this pure chesed shel emes by guarding these bodies, and that seems to be the trigger for David HaMelech to exhume the bodies, to facilitate a proper chesed shel emes of burying the dead and proper eulogizing the dead, and in turn it triggers a return of the rain on the people. The end of the parak, we learn of other battles that David had with the Plishtim. In one of those battles, it says that David was getting old and therefore he was advised to stay behind. There were three Plishti giants that were killed in those battles. In conclusion, the story of the Givonim is really a story of a missed opportunity. The Givonim held all the cards. They had a choice. They could have forgiven Bnei Yisrael for their infractions, and instead they demand retribution in a very cruel manner. And therefore, instead of being immortalized for their forgiveness and kindness, they are now infamous for their cruelty. Let us hope that we are able to make the right choices to seize every opportunity for greatness. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.